Here on behalf of the court, may it please the court. The facts before the court are that the Virginia Employment Commission paid to Ms. Brenda Cole unemployment benefits upon receipt of her receiving workers' compensation benefits. The commission then, 2 years later, sent her a decision stating that she was ineligible for unemployment benefits, and that she must repay those benefits. The circuit court in this case erred by reversing the commission and holding that Ms. Cole does not have to pay the benefits back to the Unemployment Compensation Commission paid to her during a period of ineligibility because the commission did not promptly issue its ineligibility decision.
Of course, that's the big issue here, isn't it? What does promptly mean?
That is a good question, and that is a question that is left up to the Virginia Employment Commission.
And it's not a question of statutory interpretation. We owe the commission no deference.
We owe the commission deference. The commission's interpretation of the applicable law is entitled to a deference and great weight. Mm-hmm. That's the Shiflett case.
Now, does that involve interpretation of the definition of a statute?
Yes, Your Honor. When the appellant challenges a judgment call on a topic which the agency has been entrusted wide discretion by the General Assembly, this court in the Trent decision said we will overturn the decision only if it can be fairly characterized as arbitrary or capricious. So that's the standard we're dealing with, is whether this was arbitrary or capricious, what the commission did.
Because if you take your argument to its logical extension, because this is actually over 2 years, it's like 2 years and 7 days, because on July 3rd, she gets the check from workers' comp, July 3rd, 2012, right? And she takes it that day to VEC and says, see, I got this from workers' comp. They'd make a copy of it. They said, well, you may have to pay your unemployment compensation back, right? But we don't know. We'll be in touch with you. And more than 2 years goes by. She even testifies, not in dispute, I don't think, that she held that check for a good while before she deposited it. And then after some time paid off debts from, you know, when she was had been injured. So, I mean, if you take your argument to its logical extension, what would prevent the commission from 5 years or 10 years later coming back and saying, you got to pay it back?
I agree. 2 years, I concede that was a lengthy period of time, and the commission does attempt to timely put out their decisions. Unfortunately, there are times when they get exceedingly busy and are unable to do so. And they do not have, there are no cases that define at this point what is timely. The Adrazone case is, or the Artisan case is the case that they used to follow. They no longer follow that line of cases.
I guess once Derogatis came out, they said they were not following that anymore.
That's correct.
Are there any more since Derogatis that follow Derogatis?
There are none. I've checked with the commission.
Derogatis saying we don't follow all these cases we did for years and years, and there's nothing since then that continues that trend.
That's correct.
But basically the argument is we're the commission, we're not bound by stare decisis.
That's correct.
Can change anytime we want to.
That's correct. And as I stated, that only time that's improper is if it was arbitrary and capricious, and we're arguing that it is not.
Can I follow up on that? Because I hate to keep asking you questions, but under 60.2-618, subsection 4, the disqualification for benefits, there's a standard that talks about 52 weeks. And for 52 weeks, beginning with the date of the determination or decision, the commission finds that such individual in 36 calendar months immediately preceding such determination or decision made a false statement or representation. We're talking about fraud, false statement. Here, of course, she was honest as the day is long and extremely conscientious about showing them the workers' comp check the day she got it. Suppose, just hypothetical, suppose that she had She got word on January, let's say she got word on January 15th, 2012. This is, you know, slightly off of what we're talking about. It's easier if you have a more specific date. That she got word, you're eligible for unemployment benefits. And at the time that the deputy at the commission told her that, they didn't know she'd already gotten a workers' comp check, say in December before that. And they even maybe even asked her, you getting anything else for this, like workers' comp, and she says no. Suppose, you know, she gets her unemployment for the 6 months, the 26 weeks like she did here, and it finishes up in July of 2012. And in, like, September of 2013, like, you know, about, let's say, to make it even, we're talking around 78 weeks later, they get word, no, she lied to us, and she had gotten workers' comp, and she even knew it at the time. Based on the statute regarding the fraud in the 52 weeks from the decision, can anything be done about that? I mean, under that situation, she wouldn't have to pay them back, right?
No, I don't believe so. I think it doesn't. The 52 weeks doesn't come into play when you're dealing with ineligibility determinations.
Well, it talks about fraud. If she told them that she was getting something she wasn't getting, so you see where I'm going with this. If that's the case, if the answer in my hypothetical under fraud is the commission couldn't successfully demand the repayment, if she's honest, why should the commission be able to have an unlimited amount of time to order them back?
Right. Well, the U.S. Department of Labor is actually the agency that provides oversight on the commission dealing with timeliness restrictions, and they put a number of restrictions on the commission dealing with issuance of decisions. And if the commission does not comply with those requirements, they can be fined and there can be sanctions. And it's their duty to follow that. They have to follow a percentage of decisions have to be put out within a certain number of times. Because the U.S. Department of Labor understands that the commission cannot always put out timely decisions. Unfortunately, in this case, it did affect the claimant. But my counterargument to you would be that why would Mrs. Cole deserve a windfall just because of the commission's error? Why would she?
Well, at a certain point, people rely on money. You know, if they have, she was told we'll be in touch, and they never were.
Right.
So, at a certain point, she's relied on it. The money's been spent, even though she, unlike a lot of people who would have deposited it, she comes and tells VEC immediately, "I have this check." She even holds it back for a while, and then ultimately spends it, and 105 weeks later, you know, 105 weeks later, they come back and say, no, you've got to pay it back now.
I understand that argument, and I understand that it does put some undue hardship on the claimant in that situation. But I will say she was on notice that they may be getting in touch with her, that she may have to pay back those benefits.
I don't mean to press it, because you're arguing your case very well, but, you know, where do you draw the line 10 years later?
I don't believe so, and I will say I reached out to the commission because I could not find any decisions that they had stated what was timely, and their response was they do not have any due set of time that they say is timely.
That's unhelpful. Why is this not a matter of law and a determination of promptly is a matter that we review de novo? I mean, you know, you've got Actuarial Benefits and Design Corp versus VEC that they said defining a word was a matter within a statute is a matter of law to be reviewed de novo.
It's my argument that this is a situation that we're dealing with statutory interpretation, and the commission has deemed that 2 years in this case is not deemed untimely.
But why is that case I just cited not right on point for the position that we would determine as an appellate court de novo? The definition of promptly within the statute?
Well, it's my argument that we have to look to the arbitrary and capricious standard because the commission has case precedent on this.
And what case from this court or the Supreme Court says that? When it goes to definition of a word within a statute?
It does. I do not have a case cite to that.
I thought you told me a case name when I asked you up front. Wouldn't this be something that we review de novo because it's a matter of statutory interpretation? And you said that we owe deference to the commission's statutory interpretation, and you named a case.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was Shiflett. Deference and great weight is accorded to the commission when the construction of a statute has been enforced for many years and has been acquiesced by the General Assembly.
The construction of a statute, not the definition of a word.
That's the difference, yes. I do not have a case for you, though, dealing with the definition of a word.
Right.
Therefore, since the doctrine of stare decisis is inapplicable here, the artisan line of cases does not have to be followed by the commission.
And of course, the corollary to that is we're not bound by any of the commission's decisions, ergatus or artisan.
That is correct, Your Honor. The position is that the commission must be afforded the ability to issue their decisions as they can in a timely manner, and they should do them in a timely manner. But as I say, the Department of Labor...
Does the Department of Labor set a time?
They have different... it depends on what the unemployment percentage is. They set different standards for different times. And yes, the commission has to comply with their standards depending on the economic environment at the time. And like I said, they are...
Because derogatus, one of the reasons distinguishing derogatus, the commission said, was, well, we were just coming out of the Great Recession of 2008-2009, so a lot of people unemployed. But here, you're in a much healthier economy when this occurred.
It was 2012. Yes, you are correct. And like I said, they should have done it more promptly.
Or promptly at all, depending on how you interpret it.
Depending on who gets to interpret it.
But I would argue that if Ms. Cole was afforded afforded a windfall of receiving these unemployment benefits, that money is taken out of the trust fund of the commission that is used to pay people who actually need that money in order to, or who are eligible to receive that money when they are unemployed, and to take that money out of the trust fund and give it to a person who is found ineligible would not be just. Unless you have any further questions.
No further questions. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.